Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to our Lit Lessons here on Saturday morning, May 1st. Glory to God. Let us give God our praise, glory, and honor, and open up our mouths this morning or this afternoon. Amen. Just thanking God for what He's done, what He's doing, and what He's about to do. The Bible said, if you lack wisdom, ask God. Well, we come asking for your wisdom. For divine wisdom is knowledge of God's understanding of your will. Holy Spirit, we ask that you lead us. Bless and amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Father God, and we just want to thank you, dear Lord. Father God, we thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I ask that you touch every heart and mind, oh God, that's on the call today, oh God. Lord, I ask that you bless, oh God, and as you bless, bless as you multiply, multiply. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come against every unteachable spirit on the line, amen. We come against every spirit of every hindering spirit, every spirit of confusion, frustration, distraction. We come against every spirit of fear, anger. We come against every spirit of depression, oppression, anxiety, worry. Right now, with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Father God, open up the channels of our spirit so that we can receive right and mighty, oh God, during this lesson, oh God, so that we can apply it to our daily lives and live a life that is upright and clean. Jesus, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we ask that you allow the scripture, oh God, and all that we learn here on today, oh God, to take root and manifest in us mind, body, soul, and spirit, and be engrafted on our hearts and mind. Amen. Helping us to keep our minds stayed on you, Lord. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. Let all be filled with your Holy Spirit, Father God. Oh, Lord, let all be led by your Holy Spirit, oh God. Oh, Lord, make us listen to the Holy Spirit and His leading, amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Lord, we just want to say thank you and we love you. Oh, Lord, those of us who are on the line today that need the healing, oh God, let a healing take place, oh God. Let peace come and be still. And we just want to say thank you. We declare and declare right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that we are victorious in our walk with Christ. So we are the righteousness of God, clothing in His power through Christ Jesus. And we just want to say thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. We put the blood of Jesus Christ over this lesson of today. Understanding the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Amen. I'm Prophetess Tawanika Manning. We thank God. Welcome, Evangelist Kimberly Rufford. And everyone that's on the line today, thank welcome.
Thank
welcome.
You. God bless you.
God bless you. Sister Connie Northern, God bless you. Amen. If there's anyone else on the line you want to announce yourself or introduce yourself, please do so. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There are others with us on the line today. I just called out a couple of names because I know your numbers and I know who you are. So welcome, everyone, and hopefully everyone else that probably had to be on the call today and the lesson will enter in. So we just thank God. I'm so excited you are. Sometimes I'll get the rambling because I get so excited. Just thanking God for keeping us. Amen. Thanking God for His hedge of protection around us all. Amen. When it could have been and it should have been, but God, amen, He saw fit to keep us here. So I'm excited. How's everybody doing today?
Blessed.
Amen. Amen. Sister Connie, how you feeling over there?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thank you.
Amen. We were lifting you up in prayer this morning at 12 midnight. Evangelist Kim, we were lifting you up and your family at midnight last night. Oh, my God. The Holy Spirit was just moving. We had such a wonderful time bringing in May 1st at the midnight hour. And so I'm just so grateful to be up. It's like you got to train yourself, especially if you are normally asleep at that time. My eyes got a little bit heavy around like 11:50. I was like, okay. I was in prayer already, but I was like just trying to, you know, stay up. I was like, I'm not going to go to sleep, no. I don't like just trying to wake up and jump back in. So God bless everyone here and all our guests that's on the line and everyone that's tuned in via the internet today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you've been with us over the course of the last 4 weeks or 5 weeks, we've been talking about, you know, understanding the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so what I want to do, we're going to wrap up here today, but I'm going to do a recap as we wrap up, you all, just kind of going from when we started here to where we are today. So right now we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. You are the fruit of the Spirit. And then we're going to wrap up and just kind of go over where we started out 5 weeks ago. So those who are just now tuning in today with us to kind of have an understanding of where we started and how we got to where we are today. And also if you missed those other times with us in the lesson of understanding the Holy Spirit, you can always go back on the Preaching the Pastor here on Blog Talk Radio, and you can listen to those. You can slow it down or you can speed it up, amen? And so I'm going to try to slow down. If you know me, you know I get excited. But listen, I take constructive criticism. So if you say, Pastor, you're moving too fast, we didn't understand you, I didn't get that, I have no problem you all saying it over or explaining it more in detail for you, amen? And if I don't have the answer, I'm not going to guess. I will get the answer, and we'll go to Scripture together. Amen? Hallelujah, because I don't deem myself to know everything. I'm always learning. Hallelujah. So, y'all, today we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. If you look in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and if I have someone that can help me out here in the reading, normally Sister Dillard is here to read, or Evangelist Kimberly Rafferty has helped me out with the reading. So if I can get you, Evangelist, today to help me, is that okay?
That's fine. Unless somebody else wants to, that's fine.
I just asked you because I didn't want to put nobody on the spot. If there's somebody else, if there's anybody else that want to read, help us out in the reading, that'll be great, you all. We love participation. It's so good to participate. So if you have your Bibles, so you can go along with us. We don't have to read every scripture. I'll just give you all some of the scriptures if you want to take note and go back to it for yourself. But let's look in the book of Galatians, everyone. The book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 25. That's Galatians chapter 5. Uh-huh. And we'll give everybody an opportunity to get there before Evangelist starts to read. That's Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. When you have it, just say amen so we don't move before you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. All right, so whenever you're ready, Evangelist, okay. We'll be ready for you.
Okay, Galatians 5, starting at verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Oh, I'm sorry, this is the New King James Version.
Amen.
I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And God, it's a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and most of all, the doers of his word. Amen. So
The Apostle Paul has two different kinds of lives, you all. One that allows the sinful nature, which is the flesh, to lead it, and another that follows the promptings and guidance of the Holy Spirit. For the life of a person whom the Spirit leads produces fruit, you know, the attitudes and behavior that are pleasing to God and other people. Amen? If we are full of pride and conceit, you all, and ambition and self-seeking and pleasure and the world, there is no room for the Spirit of God. And I believe many a man is praying to God to fill him when he is fully already with something else. You know, it's kind of like you already have a husband, a wife in your bed, and you're trying to add another one. You're trying to have some of you already have a fulfillment that's already there already. Okay. So let's talk about the sinful nature here, you all. Sinful nature and the promptings of the Spirit. So the sinful nature produces attitudes, actions that oppose God's will. Amen. So the acts of the flesh are obvious, as we read here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 25 here. It's obvious, you all, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, self-ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, you all, drunkenness, orgies and the like, you all. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So when we're talking about the prompts of the Spirit, you all, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit naturally leads us, you all, to attitudes and actions that are in step with the will of God. When we look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25 here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, you all, love, joy, peace. You know, do you have a kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? These are the fruits of the Spirit. Against such things, there is no law, you all. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Amen. Let's talk about love, you all. Love. We've been really talking about love here lately. You know, everybody is looking for love. Even the evildoer, believe it or not, is looking and seeking for love, to have that relationship of love. You know, the definition of love. Love is not based on emotions or feelings, you all. It is a decision to be committed to the well-being of others without any conditions or circumstances. Love seeks the highest good of others. I'll say it again, you all. Love seeks the highest good of others. Jesus gave an example, you all. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 15, verse 12 through 13, if you want to write that down, that's the John, you all, St. John, chapter 15, verse 12 through 13. Jesus said, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Amen? This is the example that Jesus gave us, you all, concerning love. The Holy Spirit in love. The Bible says in Romans 5 and 5, you all, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Amen? That's in the book of Romans chapter 5, you all, verse 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has to us. Does anyone have any questions or comments so far?
No.
Okay, amen, amen, amen. Let me know if I'm moving too fast here. Well, God bless everyone. Amen. Let's talk about joy. We're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. If you're just now logging on or getting on the call today, we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit as we're wrapping up understanding the Holy Spirit. We just got to speaking on love and talk about joy. Joy is gladness, not based on external circumstances. biblical joy is deeper than worldly happiness, you all. It is not based on financial success, good health, or popularity. By believing in God, I say that by believing in God and obeying his will and receiving his forgiveness and participating in fellowship with other believers, ministering to others, and sharing the gospel, believers alike, we as believers will experience the joy of the Lord. Amen? We will experience this joy, the joy which is of the fruits of the Spirit. So the Bible tells us, you all, in the book of Luke 10 and 21, giving you an example here that Jesus gave you all. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. And this is in the book of Luke, you all, chapter 10, verse 21. That's the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 21. Amen. The Bible says, you all, in the book of Acts 13:52, the Holy Spirit and joy, you all. The Bible says the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Amen. How many of us want that? To be filled. And how many, let me just say, how many of us know that we have that? Amen. According to Acts chapter 13, verse 52, that we are filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. What a blessing. Amen. What a blessing. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. So we get our joy, it's given by the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Thessalonians 1 and 6. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 6. Just in case you're writing it down or you want to go to it for yourself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Amen. Peace. Let's talk about peace as we're talking about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Peace. Peace. I hear people all the same, I just want peace. I just want peace in my house. I just want peace in my relationships. I just want peace. When you receive the Holy Spirit, guess what? The fruits of the Spirit, you receive peace. Peace. The definition of peace, you all know, peace is contentment, unity between people. It is a state of assurance and lack of fear. It is fellowship, harmony, and unity. Peace is freedom from worry. Peace is freedom from disturbance and oppressive thoughts. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many people have ever been disturbed and peace has been disturbed? Amen. Amen. The Bible gives us an example of what Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 27. In the book of John 14, verse 27. And I'll repeat the scriptures three times, you all, so in case you're writing it down, you can go back to it for yourself. That's John chapter 14, verse 27. The Bible says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just get excited, you all. Oh, God, we thank you, Holy Spirit of the living God. The Holy Spirit in peace, you all. We look in the book of Ephesians 4 and 3. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Amen. Keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The book of Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. That's the book of Romans, you all, chapter 8, verse 6. If you're just now entering in, led lessons on today, you all, we are talking about the fruits of the Spirit as we're wrapping up the understanding of the Holy Spirit. We thank God for the lesson. Amen. So we talked about love, we talked about joy, talked about peace. Now let's talk about patience. Patience is a virtue, you all. Being able to be patient. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you're just now entering in here on our lessons, welcome. God bless you. We're happy to have you here. We are talking about understanding the Holy Spirit. And right now we're going over fruits of the Spirit. Amen. We just covered love. Hallelujah. First and foremost, love, joy, peace. And now we're talking about patience. Patience. The definition of patience, you all, patience or forbearance is being slow to speak and slow to anger. It is the quality of restraint that prevents us as believers from speaking or acting hastily in the face of disagreement, opposition, or accusation. Patience is bearing pain or problems without complaining. Bearing problems or pain without complaining. The example Jesus gave us was in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15 through 16, you all. That's 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. The Bible says, in a letter to his friend Timothy, the Apostle Paul wrote, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who will believe in him and receive eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah. Now understand here the Holy Spirit and patience, you all. According to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 2 through 3, again, that's the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 2 through 3, says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Through the bond of peace. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 5, it's a very short verse. Galatians chapter 5, verse 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 5. The Bible says, for through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. Amen. Amen. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. Patience. It's patience. We can have a little more patience. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're just now logging on with us this afternoon, we are covering Understand the Holy Spirit. And so right now we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So let's talk about kindness, you all. Kindness is being merciful. Kindness is being sweet and tender. Kindness is a eagerness, you all, to put others at ease. It is an attractive temperament that shows friendly regard. Kindness. And I just love the kindness of my friend Tim and Sister Connie, the kindness that they show. Tim always has this this kind nature about him. And then if I can just brag on you just a little bit, which he's always in there really, if you ever meet her, she's always smiling. She's going to always give you a call. Oh, you're so beautiful. Oh, God bless. She just has that kind nature, you know, just sweet and tender, you know. And so, glory to God. You know, people should be able to see this, the fruit of the Spirit, you know, operating through you, you know. You should be in your actions. Amen. Amen. Jesus gives us an example in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. The Bible says, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. The book of Matthew, hallelujah, gives an example here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. That's Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. It says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Hallelujah. So we're looking at here the Holy Spirit and kindness you are together. We go to the book of Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 5. That's Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 5. Again, that's Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 5. The Bible says, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done or we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's talk about goodness, you all, as we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit here today. Goodness. Goodness means being unselfish and open-hearted. It is the desire to be generous to others above what they deserve. Hallelujah. Jesus gave us an example, you all. In the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Amen. When we look at it here, the Holy Spirit and goodness, the Bible says in the book of Psalm 143 and 10 says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. Amen. When we look in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 9 through 10, that's the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. Amen? And bearing fruit in every good work. Does anyone have any questions or comments at this time? Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. God bless you, Sister Connie. Amen. All right, so let's talk about faithfulness, you all. As we're still, if you're just now tuning in, we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit. Faithfulness. Faithfulness, you all, means being dependable, loyal, and full of trust. Faithfulness is firm devotion to God, loyalty to friends, and dependability to carry out responsibilities. Amen. Faith is the conviction that even now God is working and acting on your behalf. Amen. Jesus gave an example. In Luke chapter 22, you all, verse 41 through 42, in the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 41 through 42, if you're writing this down, it's Luke, chapter 22, the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 41 through 42. The Bible says Jesus was faithful to the will of God, the Father. Jesus withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. When we look in the book of Hebrews, as we're talking about faithfulness, chapter 3, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. The Bible says, Christ is faithful as the son over God's house, and we are his house. If indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. excuse me. So when we're talking about the Holy Spirit and faithfulness, you all, when we look in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14, the Bible says, when you believed, you are marked in him with a seal, promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Amen? Mm-hmm. That's again, that's in Ephesians, you all, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Amen. So let's talk about gentleness. Gentleness. Hey, man, gentleness is being humble, you all. It's being humble and calm and non-threatening. Gentleness, I said again, is being humble, calm, and non-threatening. A gentle demeanor is rooted, you all, in a position of strength and authority and is useful in calming others' anger, you all, calming someone else's anger. Gentleness is not a quality that is weak and passive. Understand that gentleness is not a quality that is weak and passive, no. Gentleness is being humble and calm and non-threatening so that we can be able to calm another when they're angry, when they're up in an uproar. Jesus gave us an example. When we look in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, you all, and that's in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28 and 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. The Bible says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we look at it here, the Holy Spirit and gentleness, you all, the book of Galatians, verse 6 and 1, help us here to understand. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. You should restore that person gently. This is what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. When we look in Galatians chapter 5, 25 to 26, you all, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 to 26, Galatians chapter 5, 25 to 26, the Bible says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Amen. Amen. Let's talk about self-control. You know, a lot of us, we need self-control. Self-control, my God, my God. Self-control, you all, means to restrain your emotions, your actions, and desires, and to be in harmony with the will of God. Self-control is doing God's will and not living for your own self, living for our own self, but living according to the will of God for our life. We get so busy being busy. We get so busy catering to the world, and the world thinks, I've got to do this first. I've got to do that. And then I'll get to with God. I'll get there one day. You know, but self-control, it's a prioritize putting God first, putting God first, the will of God to be first for our life. Amen. The example of this, you all, in 1 Peter shows us here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23 says, when Jesus' accusers hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. My Lord, my God. My Lord, my God. So when we look at it here, the Holy Spirit and self-control, you all. The Bible says in Galatians 5 and 16. Again, that's Galatians 5 and 16. Galatians 5 and 16 says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. also in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7. Again, that's 2 Timothy, the 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." So depending on what Bible you're reading out of, it could be God does not give the spirit of fear, which is one and the same. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're just now tuning in with us right now here on our Led Lessons, we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit on today as we wrapped up here. Just some things, just ask, how do we pray? People ask, these are some questions that people ask, how do I pray in the Spirit, Pastor? What is that like? I hear it and I'm praying, but am I praying in the Spirit? Praying in the Spirit, you all, is mentioned two times in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6 and 18 and in Jude 20. To pray in the Spirit means to pray, you all, according to the Spirit's promptings and guidance. See, when we allow our prayers to be led by the Holy Spirit, we pray in accordance with God's will. So the Spirit of God is the spirit of prayer. See, Jesus promised you all the presence of the Spirit in the life of his disciples. In the book of John 14, verse 16 and 17, we see it there. See, one of the crucial tasks of the Holy Spirit is to inspire and guide our prayers. Amen? So when our weaknesses prevent us from relating to God correctly, the Spirit of God intercedes for us. That is, that he pleads our case before God. Amen? When we look at the book of, Romans, you all, chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. If you have it, you can open it up with me, and that's in Romans, you all. And I'm going to give you all a minute there to get there. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. Romans, and when you have it, just say amen. I'm not rushing anyone. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Could someone read it for me, if you don't mind? Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27.
"Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God."
Amen, amen. So we see it here in Scripture, you all. We can rest assured that the Spirit is praying alongside of us, making our prayers what they ought to be. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Kind of like writing a paper,
Amen.
And someone goes on, you do the correction of the punctuation, the exclamation, making sure things are in order. Amen. Hallelujah. Talk about dialogue, y'all, and not monologue. Dialogue. If we understand prayer as communication with God, then we will be able, y'all, to see it more fully as a dialogue rather than a monologue on our part. Prayer is a two-way conversation. The other half of our worship before God is God's guidance and clarity of his will to us. Amen? Just as we may only reach God in the Spirit through the truth of Christ, according to John 4 and 24. So also God's guidance and teaching comes to us only through Christ by means of the Spirit. Amen? And thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What I do want to discuss here today, because we're going to wrap up our lead teachings of the Holy Spirit today, you all. We go over just a little bit. I hope I don't delay you from what you got to get to. I want to talk about what is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit so that we can have an understanding of that. Jesus said in the book of Mark chapter 3, you all, verse 28 through 29, The Bible says in Mark chapter 3, verse 28 to 29, Jesus said, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. So the issue here of blasphemy against the Spirit has bothered many Bible readers and believers, you all. Blasphemy involves an utterance or action that purposefully, you all, defames God. Blasphemies, you all, against God are prohibited in the first commandment, you all, in Exodus 27. Yet people, you all, regularly misuse God's name and are forgiven. Jesus' name is a target of abuse. But Christ himself teaches that these offenses may be forgiven according to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 10. So the question is, what makes blasphemy of the Holy Spirit different? Jesus seems to be speaking about something bigger than mere words or actions directed against God's Spirit, you all. See, the context helps us to see what Jesus' accusers were involved in. Was insisting that Jesus' spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, was at the core demonic, satanic evil. When we look in the book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 30, if you'll go over there with me, you all, I promise I won't keep you all too much longer here. Amen. The book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 30. Anyone has it, say amen. If you could read it for me, or read it for us, I would gladly appreciate it. And that's the book of Mark, you all. Amen. Mark, that's Mark chapter 3, verse 30. For those who didn't hear me, Mark chapter 3, verse 30. Anyone want to read it for us? We will gladly appreciate it.
Okay.
Because
go ahead.
Because they said he has an unclean spirit.
Jesus. So we see it here. We see it here in Scripture, you all. Hallelujah. So the point seems to be not that the name calling itself could not be forgiven, but that the ramifications of their words will cause the speakers, you all, to reject God's only offer of salvation. The only offer of salvation. Because the Holy Spirit is God's final witness to Christ and his salvation. So if the whisper of the Spirit in the ear or the shout of his voice in creation and history is ignored fully and finally, there can be no forgiveness, you all, because there will be no regeneration, no conversion, and no repentance. Blasphemy, you all, of the Holy Spirit is tied to one of the Spirit's most important works, which is revelation. See, in the end, it is the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of revelation, who must turn the minds and hearts of all of the human race. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So as we get ready to wrap up here, I want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and also can Christians lose the Holy Spirit, because people always ask, can you lose the Holy Spirit? And what does it mean to grieve the Spirit? And what does it mean to quench the Spirit? And then we're going to wrap up here shortly, you all, and I just thank all for you all for your patience, amen, with me on today, amen. Let's talk about what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. The literal meaning of the word baptism is to immerse, you all, or to dip in or under. So some Christians believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a baptism in or with the Holy Spirit, occurs at the moment of salvation. That is when a person trusts in Christ. The Spirit places them in Christ or immerses them in his body, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13. So, again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. So this event may or may not be accompanied by some sort of outward expression. So in this view, you are the secondary act of undergoing water baptism, also called believer's baptism, acts as a powerful external expression of this inward spiritual reality. Amen. So other Christians believe that baptism of the Holy Spirit happens after salvation. So that is, it's a special second blessing given by God to empower people for service and growth in faith. Amen. And we can witness this, you all, in Matthew chapter 3 and 11, also in the book of Acts. So whatever view on holds of this much is clear, you all. Just as water baptism serves as a kind of initiation into the Christian life and identifies us as a follower, one as a follower of Jesus, in the same way, those of us who have experienced the baptism of the Spirit to live lives that show we are in Christ. Amen? So in the way we think, you all, in the way we talk, in the way we decide, in the way that we interact, in the way that we work and play, the question is, do we demonstrate our identification with Christ? Do we demonstrate identification with Christ? Do we look to the Lord and to his Spirit for power to live in ways that bring honor to him and blessing to others? Ask yourself that, amen? Ask yourself that as you examine yourself daily. Let's talk a little bit about, can a Christian lose the Holy Spirit? The answer is no. Someone who has put their trust in Jesus as Savior cannot lose the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say that again, you all. Someone who has put their trust in Jesus as Savior cannot lose the Holy Spirit. God has given us the Spirit as a seal and a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. We look in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14. You can write this down and go back for yourself and read it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee that God will make good on his promise of eternal life for all who come to him through Christ. You all, in the Old Testament, God gave his Spirit to particular individuals for service and sometimes removed the Spirit if an individual sinned. For example, David prayed in Psalm 51:11, "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." In the New Testament, however, the Holy Spirit is promised to all believers in Jesus permanently. Permanent. According to John 14 and 16, you all. According to John 14 and 16, and you can go for yourself to witness. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to wrap up here. Hallelujah. If you have to go, go ahead. But we want to wrap up this lesson here. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to talk about what it means to grieve the Spirit, you all. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, the Apostle Paul urges believers, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. This indicates the personhood, you all, the Holy Spirit, a thing, and it cannot feel sorrow. So how do we avoid grieving the Holy Spirit in us, you all? The context in verse 30 gives us a clue. Here the Apostle Paul is reminding believers to watch what we say. No unwholesome talk, you all, or slander. Only what is helpful in verse 29. Avoid becoming bitter, angry people. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and brawling. Amen? According to verses 29-31, treat others like Christ does, you all. Kind, compassionate, forgiving. So when we behave sinfully, particularly when we treat others in an un-Christ-like ways, you all, this grieves the Holy Spirit. This is the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit that he wants to grow in our lives, in you and in me and all that believe. Amen? I want to talk about what it means to quench the Spirit, you all, and we'll wrap up right here today, and I thank God for you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Apostle Paul conscious believers, you all, in his letter to in Thessalonians chapter 1, chapter, I mean, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Again, that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Apostle Paul conscious believers in his letter to the Thessalonians to do not quench the Spirit. The imagery is that of a fire being put out, quenched. Some Bible versions translate the word quench as stifle or suppress or restrain. Immediately after Apostle Paul warns believers not to quench the Spirit, he says, do not treat prophecy with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. When we see the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the lives of other believers, and we try to stop it, we suppress it or dismiss it, we are quenching the Spirit, you all. it is not wrong to be cautious. In fact, Apostle Paul says to test them all and reject every kind of evil. But when we see the good work of the Holy Spirit, we should always hold to what is good. Hallelujah. Breathe in me, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, breathe in us, Holy Spirit, that our thoughts may all be holy. Act in us, O Holy Spirit, that our work too may be holy. Draw our heart, O Holy Spirit, that we love for what is holy. Strengthen us, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard us, then, O Holy Spirit, that we always may be holy. In Jesus' name, to God be the glory. Amen. God bless you all today. We are wrapped up here, the understanding of the Holy Spirit. As we come back next Saturday, we'll be talking about angels, just understanding what the scriptures say about angels. People have so many questions about it. We want to answer those questions. We want to give a breakdown. So we're going to be studying that come next Saturday. So join us, invite somebody in to join us. Like I stated earlier, you all, we've covered so much in this time of lesson to understand the Holy Spirit. I hope you all got something from this lesson as we've been on about 6 weeks. So right now, open up the lines for any comments or questions, and then we'll close out in prayer. Amen. If you have any comments or questions, please do so at this time. I don't know your phone number. Come again.
Can I have the radio number? The radio number.
Yes. 845-277-9213.
845-277-9213. Thank you.
Amen. All right, Evangelist, can we wrap it? Do you have any questions or comments?
Yes. The part where it said, once you have the Holy Spirit, you can't lose it. What about the people that go from being Christians to devil worshipers, people that don't believe in God or Jesus anymore, and they don't believe in the Holy Spirit? So they got to
be in heaven. They mean they was never, they were there right there, because the thing is someone who has put their trust in Jesus as Savior, that means truly there, if they stop being in that place, then they're no longer operating according. So the thing is, you can't be in it and then be out of it. So that means you truly never were in it. So who are you operating with? What spirit were you operating in? Some people are operating with a familiar spirit. And so that's a different one. We're truly in it. That's one thing. It's like, I'm black and I'm black, right? And that's it. I'm black.
Yeah.
I'm in it. This is who I am.
Yeah.
And so they just have to be fully in it. You either fully in it or you're not. You know, you can't be halfway in. You either hot or you cold. Ain't no in between. So that's kind of why, that's why we say...
No, so is that saying once saved, always saved? That is that accurate or what? I mean, it's kind of confusing because
the reason,
you know,
well, let me explain it to you. The reason that is because when you are saved, and I always say that means you stand in place of Christ. That means you continue operating there. So once you're saved, it's always saved. So you either saved or you're not saved. It doesn't mean you're not gonna. You're not going to fall. It doesn't mean you're not going to commit sin. No, it doesn't mean that.
Gotcha.
You see what I'm saying?
So, but if a person, but if they switch, like, say they grew up Christians, they were baptized,
mm-hmm.
they were calling on the name of Jesus at one time, all through their life, then all of a sudden they got a hold of
somebody. They never truly received. They never truly received. I could plant a seed, and it never grow something. I mean, it never took root. I can go outside and plant a seed, right? And never grow anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I did plant a seed. It never took root. So they never really believed. They never did.
Got it. Okay.
You got to understand, some people are just asking. They're asking the part. They're reading it. They're asking.
Yeah.
But they're always, they're in doubt the whole time. They're wavering the whole time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Their whole walk is,
you
know, God knows the heart. They're speaking today. They sing in the choir. They're doing all the acts of it. But it never took root in them. Their mouth, the Bible tells us, they have to give lip service, but their heart is not there. They preaching that word and everything. They got it down pat, but they never received it. They never truly trusted Jesus.
Yeah, let that form of
God. I believe I'm here. I'm going to believe I'm here, but inside, I don't believe. I don't believe. Yeah, I'm here. I know God's going to do it, but on the inside of me, if you can really see what's really going on the inside, and they lying. You see what I'm saying? Because once you are, you always are. Either you are or you're not.
Gotcha.
Okay, so let me clarify
it
for you.
That cleared it up for me.
Amen.
Totally.
Glory to God.
Thank you.
Yeah, because we're going to fall. We're gonna make mistakes. The Bible says we all fall short of glory when we get back up. We want to be a sinner, but we're no longer a sinner. Doesn't mean we don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's what that is. That's what that means. Amen. Thank you for the question. Amen.
Okay.
God bless you. Anybody else have a comment or question? Sister Connie? Northern? Sister Connie Northern?
Yeah, I have a question.
I'm good.
We have two Connies on the line. That's why I said Sister Connie Northern. Sister Connie Northern?
No. Yeah, it was a very good lesson. I'm good. Thank you.
Amen. Cousin Connie.
The one on blasphemy, you kind of clear that up on blasphemy again a little bit?
On blasphemy the Holy Spirit? Okay,
right.
It's denying that Jesus Christ had the Holy Spirit. So if we deny that, that means we don't have a chance of salvation. There's no salvation. So if we blaspheme, we deny and say it's not true, then that we have nothing. We can never be reconciled to God. We can never. There's no life after this. This is it for us. So that's it. So if we take that away, then what do we have? Does it make sense to you? There's no regeneration, no conversion, no repentance. So if man takes that away, then we can't be forgiven. We can't because it's no longer available.
Okay. Gotcha.
Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does that make sense to everybody, the question that she asked and the answer that was given?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Amen. Thank you for that question, Cousin Connie, because many don't understand, like, well, how is that? If it blasphemy, you mean sin? If we deny it altogether and blasphemy, that means we no longer have it available. That means Jesus didn't die for our sin. That means there's no life after this. This is it.
Okay.
So that's why, yes, amen. Amen. Is this you, Pam, on the line, Pam? Is that you? Sister Pam, is that you?
Yes, ma'am.
Pam Moore, do you have any questions or comments?
No, but it was a great lesson.
Amen.
Yes,
we thank God. Amen. Glory to God. Well, God bless everyone on the line once again. We just thank God for favor on today, and I thank God for keeping you all. I pray that all that we have learned here, understand the Holy Spirit has taken root in us, and we will share with others, that we won't just keep it to ourselves, but we will minister to others, amen, so that they will have an understanding to receive and operate according to the Holy Spirit of the living God. And know that we are blessed. It's a gift from God. The Holy Spirit is a gift that Jesus has sent. And we just thank God for the Holy Spirit, amen, that leads us and guides us and keeps us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God bless you all. We're back here on Saturday at 12 noon. Invite someone, and I look forward to hearing all you beautiful women of God here on the line. God bless you. God keep you. Father God, we thank you as we leave this line, but never your presence, oh God, I ask that you go with each of us, Father God, in our homes, in our cars, in our workplace, oh God, making us peacemakers, Father God. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you allow the fruits of your spirit, oh God, to take root in us all and manifest through our action, oh God, that all will know that we are your children, and we just want to say thank you and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. You all have a blessed weekend, and I look forward to hearing you all again next week. Hallelujah. God bless you. God keep you.
God bless you.
Amen. God bless you too.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice.